Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your goodness to us. We want to thank you for the power there is in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to save us, to cleanse us from our sin. And Lord, we thank you for all that you have in store in even 10,000 years from now, praising you, your amazing grace. Lord, we thank you for this. I thank you for your mercies during this storm. Thank you for warm houses and food to eat. Thank you for friends and neighbors. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, I do pray that you would bless our time here this morning. Thank you for each who is able to gather, and I just pray that you would continue to help different ones who are in challenging circumstances in the storm and still trying to dig out. And we do pray that you'd give grace to those who have been working very long hours. Lord, we thank you for this. Help us to be mindful of your work in people's lives and to be always letting our light shine before men. And Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom and strength for the week ahead. Father, we pray for the Lighthouse Children's Home, as today we were starting our Sunday school offering for their Christmas, for a Christmas gift to them at the Lighthouse Children's Homes around the world. And we just pray that you would continue to strengthen them and the different homes and the staff and the missionaries that are serving there and loving and ministering to the physical needs as well as the spiritual needs. I pray that you would continue to give grace and strength to those servants of yours, as well as that you would give your love into the hearts and lives of each of these children, old and young alike. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, let's take our Bibles today to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 55. And in Isaiah 55, we find a lot of good things here that God has in his word. And I'd like you to ponder, in light of what we're going to read, ponder what really matters in life. What really matters? And as we read, let's begin with verse 1. Isaiah 55 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth." Ho is a word like, whoa, wait there. Hey, hold on. I want your attention. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come near, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." We'll pause there in our reading. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word, and may the Lord help us to understand and apply the scripture this morning in a right and good way. I want you to notice, first of all, the best things in life cannot be purchased with money. The best things in life cannot be purchased with money. You know, there was a man in the Bible who tried to buy the power of God. It's in the book of Acts. I think it might be chapter 8. And he tried to buy the power of God. And he saw the apostles doing miracles, saw them healing the sick and preaching the gospel. And he wanted that same power. And Peter rebuked him for that unusual request or for that unbiblical type of request. You can't buy the power of God. You can't buy a good relationship. You can't buy a good wife. They're not for sale. I'm serious. I mean, they're not for sale. You can't buy your salvation. You can't write a $3 billion check and say, well, I want to be saved, right? You can't buy it. You can't buy it for a dollar. You can't buy it for $1 million or $1 billion. You can't buy God's favor. You can't buy good health. Now, obviously, there's things you can do that are healthier than doing unhealthy things. I mean, you can buy good food. You can buy things like that. I understand that, but you can't buy good health. There's some people that, I mean, in the way of, you know, there's some people that have health issues in their family, a lineage of having such as heart problems or something like that. And you know what? You can take measures to eat healthy and exercise, and you should, but you can't buy those things. You can't buy godly children. There's some things, in fact, the best things in life cannot be purchased with money. Notice verse 1. It says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." And so God is getting the attention here of Israel, and is saying, you know, come and drink, come to the water, and you don't need money, you don't need all those resources, you can come as you are, you can come in your poverty, and you know what, that's the only way to be saved, is to come as you are. People who are trying to, you know, clean up their life before they come to Jesus, or before they, you know, they're, hey, listen, it'll never happen, we need to come as we are. He cleans us. He makes us new. And so we can see that we can come and find God's grace without money, without price. And so the best things in life cannot be purchased with money. It's important for us to remember that. You know, sometimes the dollar is referred to as the almighty dollar, which is incorrect, of course. But you know what? That dollar, while we need it to live and to give, but you know what? We need God. We need God. He needs to be our dependence. Money is never to be our dependence. Our security is to come from the Lord. And so I want to make that point, that the best things in life cannot be purchased with money. You'll notice, just a side note, he says in verse 1, come ye, buy wine and milk without money and without price. In the Old Testament, the word wine is used generically. It's not the same usage as we would use it commonly today, so it doesn't necessarily mean an alcoholic drink of some kind. It's used generically, so sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. And the context really determines that. But you can see that here it's referring to blessing. In Bible times, in the land of Israel, people had vines. It was very common. And so to have an abundance of the fruit of the vine, of the juice of the grape, was a blessing. And milk, you notice milk, it's sort of a term of blessing. You can have blessing, you can have abundance of delicious food and provisions, milk and wine, and without price. And of course, it's referring to spiritual, this spiritual water, the blessing of God, the provision of God. Notice verse 2, "Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread?" In other words, for that which isn't what you need for your daily nourishment. "And your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." In other words, in abundance. "Incline your ear and come unto me here, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." So here is an invitation that God gives, and he says, "Ho! Ho, such a one!" He wants our attention. And he says, "What are you laboring for? You work hard, but what are you working hard for?" It says there, right, in verse 2, middle of the verse, "And your labor for that which satisfieth not," right? We need to recognize that the best things in life come from God, and we need to seek God for them. All right, so that's some things I'd like you to think about there. The best things in life cannot be purchased with money. Secondly, I'd like to point out that often we invest our lives in that which carries little to no lasting value. Sometimes we invest our lives in that which carries little to no value. In other words, someone can live their whole life, can work really hard, but they can actually miss what's really important, right? As a father, for example, while I can work really hard and I can try to provide all kinds of good things, and I mean things, for my children, right? Roof over their head, good food to eat, toys to play with, right? I can provide so many things, right? With hard work, and I can have a love for them, but if I am shortchanging the relationship of nurture and admonition and discipline and all those things, you know, did you see the lack, right? I can give them all kinds of good things. They've got silver spoons in their mouths, but there's a lack there, right? And so sometimes we invest our lives in that which has little to no value. You know what? I mean, it truly would be better, let's just say this in this observation, you know, it'd be better to take a day off work and to give them a used toy from the thrift store, right, than to say, "Oh, I got to work," you know, and then give them a brand new toy, right? So does that make sense? It's not just in that relation, but that's just an idea that came into my mind. All right. So often we invest our lives in that which carries little or no lasting value. People pour themselves into a career but miss the relationships in their lives or the work God would have them do. They look for nice things and perhaps prestige from others instead of pursuing a genuine walk with God and contentment in a heart that is seeking the Lord. Let's think about the next verses here. Verse 3. "Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." The Lord gave to David, he covenanted with David, the Davidic covenant. And, you know, it's through David's line, through David's lineage, that Jesus came, and the Lord had promised to David that there would be a king, there would not fail a king to sit on the throne of David. Jesus is that king, mind you. Jesus is that king. And you know what? God says we can be part of that everlasting covenant. We can have those sure mercies that were promised to David. And notice that. Let's skip down to verse 6 now. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. I'd like to also say, thirdly, that today is the day to draw near to God. Today is the day to draw near to God, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. You know, life goes by. Life moves. What direction are you going in? Today is the day to serve God. Today is the day to draw near to God. Today is the day to listen to the Holy Spirit of God. Are you seeking the Lord today? He says, call ye upon him while he may be found. And in this sense, it's an invitation that's twofold. It's an invitation for salvation. Come ye to the waters, right? The living water of salvation, to trust the Savior. Have your sins washed away and receive the Holy Spirit. But it's also an invitation for the wayward one to repent and return. Notice the next verse. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him, what's that next word? Return unto the Lord. Return. That's what makes me think it's not just an invitation of salvation, but particularly with the nation of Israel, they were known as a nation for from one generation to the next, from going out into rebellion and stubbornness, right? And then things would get hard. God would bring hard trials to get their attention. And then they would repent. They would call on the Lord, and God would give them victory. And things were going pretty good, and they were really blessed, and they began to harden their hearts and not obey God, and they were over here again, and there were enemies attacking them, and they were defeated, and then they got right with God. They repented of their sin. They started serving the Lord again, and it was this process back and forth. Of course, generations rolling by, years, decades rolling by. But how is it in our life as an individual? Are we going to follow the Lord? And so it says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. The unrighteous man needs to forsake his thinking and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that awesome? And he will have mercy. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You know, there's never a question if God will receive us. There's never a question. You know, I think of the prodigal son. The two boys were at home serving their father, and the one son said to his dad, he said, Father, give me my inheritance. And the father said, Oh, okay, all right. And he gave him his inheritance. And the son packed his bags and left. Left his home, left his father, and went out and lived a wild life with, Bible says, with harlots and riotous living. Wasted all his living had many friends while he had money. And he found himself, the Bible says, Jesus told this story, found himself in a pig pen, feeding pigs, working hard. Not that there's anything wrong with feeding pigs, but you know what? Found himself in a pig pen doing menial tasks, and he was so hungry that he was going to eat the slop that the pigs were eating. And he said to himself, the Bible says, Jesus said, and he came to himself and said, I will return to my father. You know, my servants, my father's servants are doing better than I'm doing. I will go back to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before your face. And please make me as one of your hired servants. And you know what? That son went back. But when he came back, his father, who had been looking and longing and praying, saw him coming and went out and hugged him and kissed him and rejoiced. And he said, Father, I've sinned against heaven. Make me one of your hired servants. And he said, put a ring on his finger. My son was lost and now he's come home. And that, Jesus telling that parable, is a picture of the Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father. You know what? The wicked never has to wonder if God will receive him if he repents. Notice verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God is faithful. I'll tell you what, God is good. He will judge sin, but he always receives repentant and humble sinners. Whether it's for salvation or whether it's a wayward, a rebellious child of his who's coming to repent and return unto the Lord. And so, today is the day to draw near to God. Today is the day to serve God. I'd like you to notice a few other things here. Verse 8, God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isn't that amazing? God says to us, I'm afraid to step out here because I've got my my old slippers. Isn't it kind of fun? It's kind of fun just to be, you know. But anyway, all right. Now I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, we read, God's thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. And indeed they are. You know what? God says his thoughts are as high above our thoughts as the heaven is higher than the earth. Wow. God's ways, the way God works. You know what? That's why we need to trust him. Because even when we don't understand, we need to obey his word. We need to trust him. We need to draw near to God. And so we're going to have to stop. We won't be able to go through the whole thing here. But that's what God wants for us, is to come to him. Notice the first word again of this whole chapter. Let's say it together, nice and loud. The first word, ready? Ho! Stop! I want your attention! That's what God is saying, right? God is the one who is always seeking man. He's seeking us. He sought Adam and Eve in the garden after they sinned. He came looking. He came calling. Adam, where are you? Imagine that. And then God came seeking, I'm sure there's more times we could identify, but God came seeking man when he sent his son from heaven. Remember the angels announcing to the shepherds? Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Wow. Jesus came. Jesus loves you. So let's recognize, as the title I gave here to this message, ponder what really matters in life. Ponder what really matters in life. We can see that we need to draw near to God. He will be faithful. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and thank you that you are a faithful God. We know that you will judge sin, but we know that you receive sinful men who repent and turn to you. And you also lovingly and patiently continue to work in those of us who have trusted the Lord Jesus, who are your children. Lord, you continue to work graciously in our lives. Father, help us to not be foolish and stubborn and dull of hearing, but help us to be sensitive to your voice. Help us to be obedient to your word. Help us to be faithful to your calling. Help us to not waste our lives, waste our labor for that which doesn't satisfy and that which has little profit. Help us to do your will, to keep our focus upon you, that we might enjoy the blessings, that we might be found faithful until you return. Lord, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.